Linsky was in pain on the way back to his car. An hour on his feet was about all he could take. A long time ago, the bones in his spine had been methodically cracked with an engineer's ball-peen hammer, one after the other, starting with the coccyx and moving upward through all the lower vertebrae, and not in rapid sequence. Generally, one bone had been allowed to heal before the next was broken. When the last had healed, they had started over again, playing the xylophone, they had called it, playing scales. Ultimately, he had lost count of how many scales they had played on him. But he never spoke of it. Worse had happened to the Zek. The Cadillac had a soft seat, and it was a relief to get in. It had a quiet motor, and a gentle ride, and a nice radio. Cadillacs were the kind of things that made America such a wonderful place, along with the trusting population and the hamstrung police departments. Linsky had spent time in several different countries, and there was no question in his mind about which was the most satisfactory. Elsewhere, he had walked, or run, or crawled through dirt, or hauled carts and sleds by hand. Now, he drove a Cadillac. He drove it to the Zek's house, which stood 8 miles north and west of town, next to his stone-crushing plant. The plant was a 40-year-old industrial facility built on a rich limestone seam that had been discovered under farmland. The house was a big, fancy palace, built 100 years ago when the landscape was still unspoiled for a rich dry-goods merchant. It was bourgeois and affected in every way, but it was a comfortable house in the same way that the Cadillac was a comfortable car. Best of all, it stood alone in the center of many acres of flat land. Once there had been beautiful gardens, but the Zek had raised the trees and leveled the shrubberies to create a completely flat and open vista all around. There were no fences, because how could the Zek bear to live another day behind wire? For the same reason, there were no extra locks, no bolts, no bars. The openness was the Zek's gift to himself. But it was also excellent security in its own right. There were surveillance cameras. Nobody could approach the house undetected. By day, visitors were clearly visible at least 200 yards away, and after dark, night vision enhancement picked them up only a little closer. Linsky parked and eased himself out of the car. The night was quiet. The stone-crushing plant shut down at 7 every evening and sat brooding and silent until dawn. Linsky glanced in its direction and walked toward the house. The front door opened before he got near it. Warm light spilled out, and he saw that Vladimir himself had come down to welcome him, which meant that Chenko had to be there too, upstairs, which meant that the Zek had assembled all his top boys, which meant that the Zek was worried. Linsky took a breath, and he walked inside without a moment's hesitation. After all, what could be done to him that hadn't been done to him before? It was different for Vladimir and Chenko, but for men with Linsky's age and experience, nothing was entirely unimaginable anymore. Vladimir said nothing, just closed the door again and followed Linsky upstairs. It was a 3-story house. The first floor was used for nothing at all, except surveillance. All the rooms were completely empty, except one that had 4 TV screens on a long table, showing wide-angle views, north, east, south, and west. Sokolov would be in there, watching them. Or Raskin. They alternated 12-hour shifts. The second floor of the house had a kitchen, a dining room, a living room, and an office. The third floor had bedrooms and bathrooms. The second floor was where all the business was done. Linsky could hear the Zek's voice from the living room calling him. He went straight in without knocking. The Zek was in an armchair with a glass of tea clamped between his palms. Chenko was sprawled on a sofa. Vladimir pushed in behind Linsky and sat down next to Chenko. Linsky stood still and waited.
"Sit, Grigor," the Zek said. "Nobody's upset at you. It was the boy's failure."
Linsky nodded and sat down in an armchair a little closer to the Zek than Chenko was. That maintained the hierarchy in the proper order. The Zek was 80, and Linsky himself was more than 60. Chenko and Vladimir were both in their 40s. Important men, for sure, but comparative youngsters. They didn't have the history that the Zek and Linsky shared. Not even close.
"Tea?"
the Zek asked in Russian.
Please, Linsky said.
Chenko, bring Grigor a glass of tea.
Linsky smiled inside. Chenko being made to serve him tea was a statement of the greatest importance, and he noted that Chenko did it with no unwillingness. He just got up out of his slouch and went out to the kitchen and came back in with a glass of tea on a small silver tray. Chenko was a very small man, short, wiry, no bulk at all. He had coarse black hair that stuck up in all directions, even though he kept it cropped short. Vladimir was different. Vladimir was very tall and heavy and blonde, unbelievably strong. It was entirely possible that Vladimir had German genes somewhere in his background. Perhaps his grandmother had picked them up back in 1941, like germs.
We've been talking, the Zek said.
And?
We have to confront the fact that we made a mistake. Just one. But it could prove irksome.
The cone, Linsky said.
Obviously, Barr isn't on tape placing it.
Obviously.
But will it be a problem?
Your opinion? Linsky asked politely.
Significance is in the eye of the beholder. The detective Emerson and the D.A. Rodin won't care about it. It's a minor detail, one they won't feel inclined to pursue. Why would they? They're not looking to trip themselves up. And no case is ever 100% perfect. They know that. So they'll write it off as an inexplicable loose end. They might even convince themselves that Barr used a different vehicle.
But?
But it's still a loose end. If a soldier tugs on it, something might unravel.
The evidence against Barr is indisputable. The Zek nodded.
That's true.
So won't that be enough for them?
Certainly it would have been. But it's possible that Barr no longer exists. Not in the sense that he's a legal entity accessible to their jurisprudence. He has permanent retrograde amnesia. It's possible that Rodin won't be able to put him on trial. If so, Rodin will be extremely frustrated about that. He'll be expected to seek a consolation prize. And if the consolation prize were eventually to assume a higher profile than Barr himself, how could Rodin turn it down?
Linsky sipped his tea. It was hot and sweet.
All this from a videotape?
It depends entirely on the soldier, the Zek said. It depends on his tenacity and his imagination.
He was a military cop, Chenko said in English. Did you know that? Linsky glanced at Chenko. Chenko rarely spoke English in the house. He had a perfect American accent, and sometimes Linsky thought he was ashamed of it.
That doesn't necessarily impress me, Linsky said in Russian. Or me, the Zek said. But it's a factor we must weigh in the balance.
Silencing him now would draw attention, Linsky said, wouldn't it?
It would depend on how it was done.
How many ways are there?
We could use the red-headed girl again.
She would be no use against the soldier. He's a giant, and almost certainly extensively trained in self-defense.
But he already has an established issue with her. Several people know she tried to set him up for a beating. Perhaps she could be found severely injured. If she was, the soldier would be the obvious prime suspect. We could let the police department silence him for us.
She would know who attacked her, Vladimir said. She would know it wasn't the soldier.
The Zek nodded appreciatively. Linsky watched him. He was accustomed to the Zek's methods. The Zek liked to tease solutions out of people, like Socrates of old.
Then perhaps she should be left unable to tell anyone anything.
Dead?
We've always found that the safest way, haven't we?
But it's possible she has many enemies, Vladimir said. Not just him. Maybe she's a big-time prick-teaser. then we should firm up the link. Possibly she should be found somewhere suggestive. Maybe he invited her out to renew their acquaintance.
In his hotel?
Nah, outside his hotel, I think. But close by, where she can be discovered by someone other than the soldier himself. Someone who can call the police while the soldier is still asleep. That way, he's a sitting duck. Why would her body be outside his hotel? Evidently, he hit her, and she staggered away and collapsed before she got very far. The Metropole Palace, Linsky said. That's where he is. When? Chenko asked. Whenever you like.